All right, most of you have seen a TV show, a cop show, or a cop movie, perhaps, where there was an argument over jurisdiction. You know, usually what happens is there's a crime committed on one of these crime shows. The police show up. They begin their investigation. They interrogate the witnesses. They're doing all that, and then the feds come in. You understand, right? Yeah, this is just one picture of maybe what it looks like. The feds show up, the FBI, the federal agents, whatever, and they say, this is our case, and the local police say, no, it's ours, and the feds say, no, it's ours, and they go back and forth. It's a clash of jurisdictions, right? And we've seen that. It's almost cliche. It's so common. It's on all the shows, all the CSIs, all the True Bloods or Blue Bloods, is that what it's called? The old Law and Order, almost every show, it seems like, it's almost laughable. It happens so often, a clash of jurisdictions. Now, when a clash of jurisdiction isn't local, when it's international, then it becomes very, very serious. You know, when nations clash, when kingdoms clash, and one says, this is my airspace, or this is our airspace, the other says, no, this is our island, this is the game of Risk. Maybe a few of you have played it, where there's a clash of kingdoms. This is ours. No, this is ours. And sometimes that becomes serious. Sometimes a clash of nations or kingdoms isn't just a national clash, but it's a clash of ideas, a clash of values. And when those kinds of things clash, usually each party is claiming more authority than the others. Our idea is better than yours. Our authority, our power is greater than yours. There's a clash of those things. And I bring those things up because in today's text, I think there's a clash of jurisdictions and a clash of kingdoms. Two clashes that are shown to us in the text today. We're going to pick up exactly where we left off last week in John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Jesus had been arrested. I'm not going to read it yet. Don't start. Jesus had been arrested. He had been taken off to the father-in-law of the high priest. Annas was his name. Annas said, I don't know what to do with him. I don't want him. You take him, and sent him off to Caiaphas. Caiaphas talked to Jesus and said, I don't know what to do with him. I don't want him. You take him. Sent him off to Pilate. And that's where we're going to pick up the story this morning. Pilate was the Roman authority, the Roman governor there at that time. Let's read about this clash of jurisdictions and clash of kingdoms in John chapter 18, starting with verse 28. Verse 28. The Jewish leaders led Jesus from Caiaphas to the Roman governor's palace. It was early in the morning. So that they could eat the Passover, the Jewish leaders wouldn't enter the palace. Entering the palace would have made them ritually impure. So Pilate went out to them and asked, what charge do you bring against this man? They answered, if he'd done nothing wrong, we wouldn't have handed him over to you. Pilate responded, well, take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. The Jewish leaders replied, the law doesn't allow us to kill anyone. This was so that Jesus' word might be fulfilled when he indicated how he was going to die. Pilate went back into the palace. He summoned Jesus and asked, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, do you say this on your own, or have others spoken to you about me? Pilate responded, I'm not a Jew, am I? Your nation and its chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus replied, my kingdom doesn't originate from this world. If it did, my guards would fight so that I wouldn't have been arrested by the Jewish leaders. My kingdom isn't from here. So you are a king, Pilate said. Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. I was born and came into the world for this reason, to testify to the truth. Whoever accepts the truth listens to my voice. What is truth? Pilate asked. After Pilate said this, he returned to the Jewish leaders and said, I find no grounds for any charge against him. You have a custom that I release one prisoner for you at Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? They shouted, not this man. Give us Barabbas. And Barabbas was an outlaw. Just as a side note, I was once cast in a musical about this passion and play of Jesus as Barabbas. I don't know if that tells you anything about me or not, but somebody said, yeah, that guy should be Barabbas. Looks like Barabbas. I don't know. Well, I had a hard time knowing what to preach about this text, to be honest with you. I was tempted just to say this morning, we're going to have a long period of open worship today. A really long period of unprogrammed worship. And then maybe not have much to say. But as I chewed on this, I pray, as I often do, I pray and say, Lord, what do you want us to hear? What do you need us to hear from this passage? And I just wasn't feeling like I was getting an answer. But as I kept chewing on it, I finally was drawn to these clashes in this story, these clashes over jurisdiction and kingdom. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. The first thing I was drawn to in regard to this story is the clash of jurisdictions. Nobody knew what to do with Jesus. Nobody wanted him. They all wanted to send him to somebody else. No one wanted blood on his hands. No one wanted blood on their hands, but all of them were culpable in Jesus' death. Now, I already said this, but you must have noticed that they passed Jesus back and forth. First Annas, then off to Caiaphas, who he says, I don't know what to do with him, you take him. Then Caiaphas sends him to Pilate, and then did you notice what Pilate said? No, I don't want him, you take him back. You take him back and judge him by your law. It's almost laughable the way it plays out. Nobody wants to be the one who judges Jesus. Now, in the TV shows, the cop shows where there's a clash of jurisdictions, it's about who gets to investigate, interrogate, do all the work on a certain case. But in this passage, the clash of jurisdictions is who doesn't have to be the ones that interrogate and judge Jesus. Nobody wants to have his blood on their hands. In fact, Matthew's gospel tells us that Pilate actually comes out and physically washes his hands in front of the Jewish leaders and says, I'm innocent of his blood, this man's blood. No one wanted to look guilty of Jesus' death. Now, most of the time the Bible is teaching us about God. But the rest of the time, it's teaching us about ourselves. And in this story, we can discern that the Jewish leaders, Pilate, the high priests, are teaching us about ourselves. They're teaching us that we try to find cover for our sins. We try to make ourselves look innocent when we're not. They remind us that though we do not want blood on our hands, that we're still guilty. Maybe we haven't technically said something false, so we claim to be innocent, but we still have been deceitful. Maybe the IRS hasn't audited our tax returns, so we claim to be innocent of cheating, but we've still hidden some income. Maybe we haven't been directly unkind to those we encounter, our neighbors around us, and so we claim to be innocent of mistreating our neighbors, but we've still made political choices or embraced economic practices that very negatively affect those right around us. We claim to be innocent, but we're actually quite responsible for the hurt and the pain we've caused ourselves and others. So like the Jewish leaders and Pilate, who tried to appear innocent, we try too. But when we look at the story, we can see very clearly all of the actors in this story are guilty. All of them are culpable. There's blood on their hands. and there's blood on our hands too. But thankfully, that's not the end of the story. It's not the whole story. Thankfully, for the whole story of Jesus teaches us that though there's blood on our hands, Jesus forgives us and sets us in the right direction when we repent, turn around, and live a new life. So during this season of Lent, you know, this is the season of Lent, the season of repentance. Let's stop pretending that we're innocent of harming others or ourselves. Honestly confess these things and trust in the grace of the one who willingly went to death for our sakes. A clash of jurisdictions teaches us that none of us are innocent. That's the first thing I was drawn to. The second thing from this story that drew my attention was the clash of kingdoms. The kingdom of the Jewish leaders, the kingdom of Pilate, the Roman Empire, and Jesus' kingdoms. Now think about Pilate for a minute. He was the governor, the Roman governor that ruled in that area. You're somewhat familiar with him because of the Passion story, because he's a part of the Christian creeds. But Pilate was concerned about national security. That's why he was concerned with Jesus. If this guy Jesus was claiming to be a Jewish king, Pilate had trouble on his hands. Since there'd been plenty of Jewish rebellions in the past, and Pilate seemed to be aware of the Jewish hope that they would once again be an independent nation someday under their own Jewish king, that would require a revolution and a revolutionary leader, see. Pilate had to take seriously any claim of someone who said, "I'm king of the Jews," or anybody that other people called the king of the Jews. The Roman Empire would fully expect him to keep his such revolutionaries in check. And when he asked Jesus if he were king, Jesus didn't exactly deny it, did he? No, he didn't. However, while Jesus admitted his kingship, he said his kingship was not the same as Pilate's kingdom. Not the same as Pilate's kingdom. And this is important that we notice this. Just saying my kingdom isn't of this world, my kingdom doesn't originate here, as our version said, we need to understand what Jesus is saying. Three things that he said about his kingdom here. First, he says his kingdom didn't originate where Pilate's kingdom did. In other words, my kingdom isn't something that's political here on earth, but it comes from a higher authority, as John has been trying to tell us through his whole gospel. Jesus' authority doesn't come from any human beings. It comes from God. And that makes it way more important, way more authoritative, way bigger and better, if you want to say it that way, than Pilate's kingdom. So when Jesus says, my kingdom doesn't come from here, it's not, or it doesn't originate from this world, he's saying to Pilate, my kingdom is far, far greater than yours. Okay, get that? Nod with me a little bit. Second thing he says about his kingdom, my guys don't fight, he says. It doesn't need to fight to secure itself. Jesus' guards, unlike Pilate's, don't fight. Jesus' kingdom did not need security. There's no need to fight your enemy when your mission is to die for the sake of your enemy. Think about how funny that would be. If your mission, your goal, is to reconcile with your enemy, then fighting and killing them doesn't help very much. So Jesus says, my guys don't fight like yours. Third thing he says about his kingdom is that it's about truth. I was born to testify the truth. Those who care about the truth listen to my voice, Jesus said. Pilate seemed to quickly dismiss the truth. What is truth, he says. Maybe not very interested in it, while ironically the truth itself was standing right in front of him. The bottom line in this clash of kingdoms is that Jesus' kingdom is not like Pilate's kingdom. It's not like the Jewish leaders' kingdom. It's not like Rome's kingdom, the empire. And even though those kingdoms exercised their authority over Jesus and sent him to the cross, they could do so only because of his humble submission. Jesus' kingdom transcends theirs. That is, it's greater than their kingdoms. It's more important than their kingdoms. It's more lasting than their kingdoms. And we must remember that faithfulness to Jesus and his kingdom is not only different than being faithful to our own earthly kingdoms, it is far more important. I think we need to be reminded of this from time to time. Here's what I'm saying. No commitment that we make to a neighborhood, a community, a club, a political party, a philosophy of government, a nation should even come anywhere close to our commitment to Jesus and his kingdom. Now, that doesn't mean we can't have commitments to these other entities. It just means that those commitments are so much less serious than our commitment to Jesus and his kingdom that they aren't even in the same ballpark. And when those kingdoms clash, when we hear this kingdom of this world, this government, or this idea, or these people saying to us one thing and Jesus saying to us another thing, it's not comparable. We go with Jesus every time, without question. So we can't speak about our love of other things in the same sentence that we speak about our love of Jesus. For instance, we can't speak of our love of our nation in the same sentence that we speak of our love for Jesus. We can't speak of our commitment to community as much as we're committed to our own neighborhoods and communities. We can't speak of those things in the same sentence as we speak of our commitment to Jesus. We can't ever think of our political identity in the same ways we think of our identity in Christ. They aren't even close. Jesus' kingdom is not like Pilate's kingdom. And we're devoted first and foremost to Jesus and his kingdom, which is from God, which doesn't have to fight to secure itself, and which testifies to the truth. When there's a clash of kingdoms, we choose Jesus and his kingdom. Now, you all know this. You all know this. But it's important to be reminded, and it's important for us to reflect upon ways that other kingdoms may be clashing and trying to compete with Jesus' kingdom in our lives. When we see the clash, we go with Jesus. Okay? All right. There was a clash of jurisdiction. Nobody wanted to be the ones with Jesus' blood on their hands, but in the end, all of them were guilty, and so are we. So let's not pretend we're innocent, but admit our sin and trust that God will forgive us of it and set us in the right direction. And there was a clash of kingdoms. Jesus' kingdom had authority from God. It didn't need to fight to secure itself. It testified to the truth. Pilate's did not. And we're left to discern ourselves in the story, becoming aware of how jurisdictions and kingdoms clash so that we might always side with Jesus, the one who died for the sake of the Jewish authorities and Pilate and us.